following episode of The Orphans is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerdy destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. This is Zachary Fortscom, the creator of The Orphans, and...
Aren't you going to introduce me?
No, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Why would you... You can introduce me, it's fine.
And James Barbarossa.
I can introduce myself. James Barbarossa, I am the robot.
And also...
And also story editor. Yeah, story editor.
And script editor, yeah.
Yeah,
For The Orphans.
Yes, for The Orphans. Well, I'm story editor in that I badmouth your story.
Yes, script. Until I change it crying late at night.
Of course.
Naturally. Yeah. We are here to give you a little bit of an update on The Orphans and how that's going. Mm-hmm. We're also going to introduce some new behind the scenes material.
Yes, and we're going to answer some questions.
I'll start with the behind-the-scenes material.
I would like to cut in and say...
Okay.
This is the second time we're recording just the introduction for
this.
Because of some problems with the microphone. I have since looked up how to pronounce the name of the Nordic fellow that...
We pronounced later
pronouncing
on.
Pronouncing him. I've asked a lot of questions. It is not Ebor.
Is it not? What is it?
It's Aethor.
Really?
Yes, that's not a B. You didn't send me the name of the person.
I didn't.
So I didn't look it up. What you have said was an E. What you have said was a B is actually a th sound.
Gotcha.
So it's Aethor.
Aethor.
So Aethor, you can quit being an eyesore and accept that we've pronounced your name wrong.
So. That quip will make a lot more sense when you hear what he's done later on in the episode.
Yes. Anyway, let's begin.
Yes, so we're going to just introduce some of the behind-the-scenes content that we have for you guys. We're going to be, over the next 3 weeks, releasing three interviews, sets of interviews with the cast and the crew.
Yes.
We have an interview with the male cast, interview with the female cast, and then finally an interview with the crew, which is myself and Jody Steadman.
Just to segregate everybody by gender.
Yes, naturally. Mm. The natural order of things.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Calm down.
You fucking hurt
Jesus.
Me.
Calm down. This is serious business.
Yeah?
We're not doing our podcast here.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes. It's not making a scene.
No. This is not our show. We have a podcast where we trade banter and talk about films.
Yes, called Making a Scene.
And it's sort of, we're both sitting here with a microphone in our exact same setup as that, and you'll have to forgive us if we occasionally slip into it,
yes.
Of humor.
Ha ha ha! Funny, so funny. Anyway.
Oh, I didn't know what you were doing.
No, you're not Jeffrey today.
You're right.
Oh my god! Every time you did that on the show, I couldn't keep it in.
No, that was good.
Right. So, we're gonna give you a little update on season 2 and kind of where that's going. Now, this is the point where we're gonna splice into the other episodes. So, excuse if there's a sudden cut.
Okay.
But essentially, what we want to tell you about is when we released The Orphans on Nerdy Show, we released through all the normal platforms as well as
BitTorrent Now.
Yes.
Now, James, why did we also release on BitTorrent Now?
Well, BitTorrent Now, part of what we were doing with BitTorrent Now was we were attempting to negotiate for some funding from them for season two. Hopefully, we could have... our hope was that we could convince them to give us money to make season two. And in exchange, we sort of... would release on their platform first and foremost.
Yes. Well, that was something.
Unfortunately,
what that
was called was the BitTorrent Discovery.
BitTorrent Now, and what we were applying to was the Discovery Fund.
But BitTorrent Now has recently undergone some structural organizational leadership changing. We don't actually know what's really going on.
No.
With them, but
what has been reported is that. Both the CEOs have been fired, and the entire LA office has since been laid off, which makes sense because the people who we were in contact with at the time were in the LA office and suddenly went. And so our communication kind of went off and we weren't sure what happened.
We were talking with somebody there and they disappeared for a long time. And then they emailed us saying that they were on holiday. And essentially, as we started looking into it, we found... they were falling apart a little.
Yeah.
And so...
And then we finally got
an email saying that they weren't looking for any more applicants at the time because...
Yeah.
We can only assume because...
they said they'd made all their
decisions.
But we were in the first round of selection,
and,
which was difficult to believe.
We just assume that we're so good that nobody could say no to us.
No, but like it was very fishy.
Of course they would have let us in.
I think
they would have absolutely let us in. It's clearly the only thing going on is structural changes. Because we were a shoo-in, obviously.
I think we actually were kind of in the running.
Okay, I agree. But it didn't work out for structural reasons, we presume. So that's the story behind the release platform. Since then, we've just...
We've tried some other avenues that haven't panned out.
Yes.
Essentially, what we're looking at right now is that to get season two done, it's going to be a lot of work. It will happen at some point.
Sure.
We're just not sure when that point will be.
Yes.
Because right now our cast are and a wonderful, wonderful cast are off doing some amazing things with their lives.
Questionably wonderful.
No, not at all.
I personally think whoever plays Jeffrey is the only good one. The rest
That's
of them
you,
can...
James.
Oh, I forgot. How careless of me to let that slip my mind.
No, but our wonderful cast are off doing some amazing things. Amy Kember, who plays Nora, recently this fall.
We don't need her.
Oh my God, the show couldn't function without her. She recently finished a UK tour of The Tempest and is about to start a new tour around the UK with the same theatre production company doing The Ghost of Mr. Dickens, I believe, which doesn't have other cast members of The Orphans in it. I thought it did for a second.
So feel bad, America.
Yeah. Our other amazing cast member, Gavin Richards, who played Richard...
Don't need him. Supporting cast. You're only talking about supporting cast, dude. Talk about leads.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Talk about leads.
No, Gavin Richards, he's in, he's about to move to China for 6 months to do some theater work with a company out there.
Yep.
Alex Bird, who played Baz, he's going to be, he's appeared in a couple of shows in London. One's just passed, getting great reviews. Everyone's doing very well. James is going to be in a new podcast called Roscoe and James.
Oh yeah, I am, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
Yes, when they get back on track to me about that, Roscoe and James. I'm in, as far as I know, a couple of episodes of that at least, depending on how long that goes on for, I don't know what their plans are for the season, but I will be in that. In yeah. It's an audio drama. It's a superheroes audio
so
drama.
So everyone's doing well, working on stuff.
Sure.
I'm currently developing a new show with the people over at Liberty on Nerdy Show. So Travis and all those people. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a new show for them in the Liberty universe. I'm also working sound design wise on Small Town Horror. I'm starting...
Wolves. Small Town Who?
Horror.
That's really disrespectful to women, dude.
Yeah, she's a floozy. she's a real floozy.
Oh, that's a...
No, my first episode sound designing for Small Town Horror will be episode 9. Mm. Episode 8 just came out, I believe, so keep an ear out for that. Yeah.
Essentially, it's just depending on funding at this point.
Yes, for season 2 of Orphans, it's depending on funding and it's depending on time.
As soon as we work out how to fund it, which we will at some point.
Or as soon as we have the time and the equipment, if we find that, you know, the cast is all generally available and we're in generally
the same
place.
We'll work something out.
We'll work something out.
Depends. Something's got to pay the rent.
Exactly.
So
right now, what they might not know is that most of us were in our third year of university, which in the UK is the final year of university when we did this. So
yummy.
Did you just say yummy?
No, uni. Dude.
Uni. Oh,
take it easy.
So now we're trying to kind of pay the rent and exist, and
work our lives out,
you know, eat.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that sort of thing.
Which is happening. We're all still alive.
Find meaning for our existence.
Exactly.
Well, for now.
Yeah. So the second season of Orphans does exist on paper. I've written it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get more into that in some of the questions that we have later on. But I want to rest assured with you that season 2 will happen at some point. I just can't guarantee when.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that we all desperately want to do.
Yeah, we'll probably conduct a crowdfunding project.
Could we? Yeah.
I mean, we'll probably conduct a crowdfunding project when we have a better idea of what we will be doing for other funding and where the crowdfunding project will fit in with the rest of the funding.
Well, exactly. And, you know, we need your support, really. The only way that the Orphans can be successful.
We will let you know when we are engaging with them.
How you can help us now is you can just share the show with as many people as you know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think that they are at all interested in audio drama, please share it with us. We have a great... Well, I think we have a good first season that I think a lot of people will enjoy. We've been doing
it needed more of the robot.
There's more robot coming, James. Yeah. Don't worry, you'll have more lines next season.
Despite
the fact that you'll have maybe.
It's just more condensed.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
You actually might not have a bigger role next season.
Oh, God damn it.
You might have a smaller role.
Can you write me another character, please?
Haven't I?
Oh yeah. Well, can you write me? I want to play the rich, jaded actor that just that like did the voice for all the Jeffrey units and then retired and is just like living in a villa just as an alcoholic. He never takes a bathrobe off. He just doesn't do anything. He just sits and drinks.
Mm.
I want to play like the really jaded actor version of myself.
Yeah.
How about that?
Maybe.
Stick that in.
I'll see if I can find room. I'll see if I can find room in our plan.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. All right. On to the Q&A, I believe. Yeah. So you've got some questions here.
Let me pull up who they're from. We have quite a lot of questions from one person, which is fine. And I'm going to absolutely disgrace their name.
Sure.
Because I can't pronounce it. But the first question is from Jeffrey McSorley Jr. And he is asking...
how sorely does he want to know the answer to this one? I'm a comedy writer.
Well done. So the full question is, I guess the question is, this is a quotation now, is how long did it take to assemble the voice cast? It seemed as though all the roles were done as desired to just uh, do justice, I think he's trying to say. Wondering,
I don't see this question.
This is in the Nerdy Show group. I'm just wondering how you got such a talented team together.
This guy sent me a bunch of these questions, and now he's reading questions I don't have in front of me.
But that's the first one. I just paraphrased it on what I sent you.
How you said, how did we assemble such a good team?
Well, that's paraphrase of what he said.
Let's move on.
So how did we assemble such a good team?
We are still our mates.
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
Also not true.
Well,
cause the casting process was a long one. It happened between kind of November 2015 and January 2016, mm-hmm. where I kind of decided, okay, I'm going to do this show, and I had written the role of Jeffrey for you.
I vaguely remember that being the origin of this whole thing.
What?
Which was of the orphans.
Yeah.
Was that you had a film shoot to go to for a student project.
Yeah.
And I think you were continuity.
Yeah.
And it had involved standing on a beach in Dorset.
Yeah.
In a storm.
Yes.
In a cold, wet storm.
Which it was meant, we were meant to be shooting a tropical beach and we got a storm and we couldn't film any other time.
So you just decided, I'm going to write an audio drama where James plays a sassy robot.
It wasn't even that. It wasn't even like sassy AI. It's just the idea came to me so quickly when I was on that shoot. I don't know where it came from.
No.
Yeah.
Your brain, probably.
My brain. Yeah. That's the place. I don't know what sparked it,
the
though.
The storm? The magical wish-granting storm?
That's what it was. Must have been. Just pure boredom because we were stuck in trucks. Because we couldn't work because there was thunder. Mm-hmm. No, but recruiting people, there was some kind of criteria behind it because...
And we just got lucky.
We did get very lucky.
Because everybody likes to, downplay the quality of their university, but we had a good one. We have some pretty talented
individuals,
compatriots that we knew could all do a fairly good job.
Yes. Well, I can tell you kind of the story of how I cast each of the people. Mm-hmm.
Go on.
So we'll start with you. The role was written for you specifically because we always talked about kind of robotic characters and all that sort of thing.
I like playing snarky robots.
Exactly. You had a great voice for it and it was just perfect.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I named the character Jeffrey and then I said, James, come up with the acronym. And you went off and created...
Geometrically. I decided I wanted... You spelt it J-E-F-F-R-Y first.
Yeah.
And I decided that I wanted the G-E-O to be geometrically.
Yeah.
Or geometric. And then I just concocted geometrically fabricated and functional reasoning. And then I was like, I don't know, unit. Like, that doesn't begin with a Y.
But the funny thing is that is now the naming convention.
Yeah.
Like, because there's another robot character who's not a Jeffrey unit in season 2. Mm-hmm. And I've stuck with that naming convention. Cool. And it's all reasoning units.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, which works.
So, and then I just listened to loads of different robot characters. And
you came over.
Which aspect of these robot characters do I like?
Well, we met up and we talked about different robot characters and how they work. And we kind of found a middle ground between these certain characters that you wanted to put into it. It was really a lot of preparation for you.
Like how I thought robots might think. And
And we crafted that into the arc kind of as it was going.
What it's like to sort of be... To start off with to be born with a fully functioning mind, but to gradually become an individual over time, and to realize the meaning of death and such. So that was
there. There we go. Casting Nora, who plays Amy Kember, was kind of the only choice.
If I remember, we found a magazine that was like, most annoying, least talented women in Bournemouth. And then we just threw darts.
You're awful.
I'm sorry.
Terrible.
Amy. I'm sorry, Amy. I love you. I apologize.
No. Amy Kember was the only choice, in my opinion.
She's fantastic.
I had worked with her a couple of years ago on some film projects. And we kind of saw each other casually through that time. And I was writing this character. And for some reason, the only person that I could think of to play it was her. Mm. She was on the acting course.
She's really obnoxious.
Shut up.
Ugly.
No, what?
I'm sorry. All I know how to do
is insult
the people I respect. So.
No, she just has this gravitas as a performer that I knew Nora needed. Mm. She could play characters who had a bite to them while remaining likable.
Yeah.
I think she had kind of all the necessary components to her. And I was very lucky to have her. You know, if anyone else had taken that role, the show would be very different. I don't think we'd have the same Nora.
Better, probably.
Nope. Not what I'm saying.
No, most likely better, though.
Uh-huh.
No, you don't have to say it. I will say it. Probably better.
Casting for Olivia, literally my girlfriend Laura was like, can I be in it? And I was like, I thought about it for a second. I was like, yeah. And she likes to act. She's good.
Sure.
Yeah, we had
that was, you know, we weren't all part of the same friendship circle.
No.
But most of us had spent time with her. So we all sort of knew her, basically.
Yeah. For Valerie, again, Ruby Parker Harbord, who plays Valerie, was my housemate at the time, literally next room over, and was kind of there when we were developing it. Mm-hmm. And she also had some experience with acting and wanted to do more of it. And she was like, oh, I want to be a part of this. And I kind of originally
dropped
Valerie...
I dropped her into it.
But also Valerie was kind of different before. Like she was more... I don't want to say stupid, but just a bit thick before. And then I kind of changed.
Sort of a female William.
Yeah, but now she was more snarky and more suited to Ruby's personality. Mm-hmm. And I thought, again, you know, that was overall better for the show. With William, I knew kind of I wanted this kind of surly guy for that role. And I kind of cast my gaze around the people who I knew. I found someone who kind of had a separate voice to everyone else because I wanted him to stand out. And I found my friend Declan Galpin, who had that kind of surly voice. He had that Bristolian, is that the right word?
He's
Bristol.
Midlands.
Midlands accent.
Sort of, yeah.
And I thought he was absolutely perfect. And he brought this humor to the character that I didn't know could exist in it. And it was fantastic. The entire thing where William is sick all the time, that was literally from the first recording session we had, was the first scene where the group all meets for the first time. And there was something happening with one of Olivia's lines that wasn't quite working. And we didn't really know what to do about it. And then...
So we just had a snark. We had a snark fest.
Yeah. But then Declan just came up and was like, I'll just be sick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then it worked. Mm-hmm. And we kept it. And now that's just a part of William's character.
That's true. And I just came up with jabs.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Declan was very good at playing this... this sort of improvised person, whereas all I could do was just like, okay, it's time to concoct an insult.
Yeah.
Time to concoct human
which
insults.
You're great at.
Yeah, that's all I thought. It's one of my only skills in life.
And then, of course, Alex Bird, I think that's the last of our main cast, right?
Gavin.
Yes. Alex was the last member of the cast to join.
Don't need him.
The cast.
Kick him out.
The funny thing is I've said this to Alex. He wasn't my first choice. Mm-hmm. I'd asked someone else to do it. They weren't able to do it. And then he was my next choice. I now realize that there's no one else who would have brought... if I had casted that other person, it would not have worked.
Mm.
And that Alex brought... this great strong vulnerability to him. And I don't know, that sounds weird, but it's very true. There's,
yeah, I like that about his performances as well.
It's, he's able to be, he's able to muster up courage within himself despite being an incredibly vulnerable character.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to have bravado to be, to have strength.
Exactly. And had I casted said other person, it just wouldn't have worked, and Alex did it beautifully. So thank you, Alex, for once again saving our lives. He was the last cast member though, because he was so hard to nail down.
Oh god, he wouldn't answer his, phone or anything. He wouldn't answer Facebook messages.
Yeah, we eventually had to get Amy, who was in a show with him at the time, to nail him down in rehearsal.
I'm pretty sure we ambushed him.
We didn't. She did.
No, I'm pretty sure at one point after university, we knew what room he was like.
No, didn't we?
Yeah, we knew what, like, we knew from Amy what room he was, they were all working in.
I don't remember that.
And we just, like, stood in, like, the corridor out the front of the university and just waited for him.
No, we didn't.
We did a bit.
Oh, we God. Did. That's really
to, like,
funny.
To be like, hey, are you in or what?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm definitely interested. And I was like, oh cool, why haven't you been answering messages? He just, and he's like, I don't know,
he's terrible at that stuff. I love him though, he's great. Yeah, he's, I love him.
Can I tell a quick embarrassing story?
Yeah, go on.
I wrote a university film, and I intended to have him as the actor, but the film broke the fourth wall, and at one point I wanted the narrator to refer to the character by the actor's name.
Yeah.
And I wrote into the script sort of like, I didn't know what act I wanted to, what actor was going to play.
You didn't know who
it
was, yeah.
No. But I must have subconsciously like remembered that the actor that I wanted was, or whatever. I don't know. I had to think of a name so it wasn't just a blank space.
Yeah.
So that it would make sense in the script. So that when reading it to production people, it would make sense as a sentence. Yeah. And I just wrote in Alex as a name.
Yeah.
And when it came to the casting table, I printed out all the scripts and we'd got all the available actors.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool. I like that guy. I want that guy to be. That's the guy I want. But
that was Alex.
Of course, yeah, it was Alex. But of course, when we read through the script, everybody's reading the script and they read Alex out loud. And everyone's like, oh no, that's all the other actors were like, oh, that's fine, James. That's cool. We all know who you want. And I was like, no, it wasn't deliberate, I swear. But like, I could tell everyone was like, oh yeah, of course.
Uh-huh,
and we're like, no, don't worry about it, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's not fine. It was a mistake. It was an error. And they're like, no, it's cool. We all know. And it's like, no, dude, there's nothing to know. It was a mistake. But I did want Alex to play that character.
Yeah, he would have been good in that role.
Yeah, but we got somebody else to play instead, and the other guy was really good too.
Yeah, so. He was. It was a good film.
Yeah.
Gavin. And then finally, Gavin.
Don't need him. Kick him in.
That was funny because I didn't think I was going to get him.
I think you should cut him out of the first series.
How would I
go back
do
and
that?
Edit it out?
Literally, how?
Just go back and edit it out. I don't think just cut it all out.
That wouldn't make sense.
I'll play it.
That wouldn't work.
Hello, I'm Gavin.
I'm Welsh.
I'm from Wales.
There were so many times that we had to correct his accent so people would understand him.
Yeah, because
we were aiming an American audience.
I understood it, but because obviously
there was one time when he said
in the audience,
Huel, instead of hole.
Yeah.
Huel.
And he didn't. Cats. And we're like, what?
What?
Cats.
Cats.
And he says cats.
Oh,
and I don't.
So
I literally had no idea what he was
what
supposed
he was
to be
to
saying.
Say. No, with Gavin, casting Gavin, it was. I didn't think I was going to get him because he was a very busy guy at the time.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, what we did is we went to a Sainsbury's and we just lobbed a rock, and whoever we hit. we just happened to hit him and we were like,
Gavin.
Hey dude,
yeah.
Be in this audio drama. And you see he had a head wound, so how can you say no?
Shut up. No, Gavin again was on the acting course with Amy and Alex. And when I was originally going through people who I knew who could play Richard, who I knew was going to be kind of the villain of the group, which, you know, he ultimately does end up being, you know, and is redeemed. I knew I needed someone who could kind of play nasty, but also be likable to some degree. And I thought Gavin
had some level of humanity.
Exactly. Because I didn't want to paint just a two-dimensional ha-ha villain from him, because he was doing it because he thought it was right, as most villains are. As the best villains are, the villains always think that they're right. And he needed to have that motivation. And Gavin was such a committed performer, and I knew this from having seen him work in the past. He was able to find, and he did this repeatedly in recordings, he always took the position of Richard. He would always argue Richard's position. Yeah. He would always find a way to justify what Richard was doing for himself and find the motivation that he needed to be in that place. Yeah. Such a dedicated performer.
Yeah, it's really lucky that we found somebody so
Welsh.
low to the ground, scummy, cowardly, small-minded,
stop,
stupid, petty, selfish, rude,
yeah,
smelly.
You're a bad man.
Yes, I am.
These are all people that we both, well, yes, you and Gavin do kind of.
Oh, we're actually friends.
Yeah, but you guys always would, because your characters were adversarial. You guys would always rile each other up.
Yeah, it's banter.
Well, that kind of answers that. That was the first question.
Great.
That took so long. The next question is, is there an end game for our world? Because right now it seems, quote, too big and confusing to ever be wrapped up.
Gosh. Damn.
Yeah, and that question was from...
Shot to the heart.
I'm sorry, I'm going to really mess this up. Ibor Bjornsson. Sorry, I'm really sorry.
Well, he's e-boring us with his... mean question.
It wasn't mean. That's a reasonable question. But the funny thing is I find it funny that he thinks that the world is big now.
Yeah.
And he hasn't read season 2.
It's true.
Like, that's the funny thing to me. It's a huge world because I know what it is.
Yes.
It's funny to me that you, having heard just season 1, think that this is a big world, which, I mean, to be fair, I can see how you think that.
Well, how?
Well, because with the whole clones and there's a world out there, sure, we refer to the collective and...
You get used to it. I guess the cast and I all worked under the inherent knowledge basically from the start that our characters were clones.
Yeah.
But I suppose if just listening to the show, you only find that out in the last season. So
yeah, you guys knew that from the start.
So maybe that might make it seem a lot bigger, but we've been working under the knowledge that our characters were, that yeah, it was a that was show the, about clones.
Yeah, that was our basic conceit.
For us, it was a show about us as clones working as our basically roles
yeah.
in society, is how we were constructed and just working. Or I wasn't. I was a robot.
You were a robot, but they were, yeah.
They were, but I'm almost just as much as a clone as any of them. Jeffrey's almost just as much as a copy. So we were all working on from this sort of
knowledge.
Had programming and
yeah.
we knew we had programming, but all of our character motivations were based on that programming, I would say. And but so we're used to it, but you get used to it, I would say.
Yeah.
And knowing
but
what
James
happens
is
season,
there an end game?
Nah, you just make
fuck off.
You're just making stuff up.
That's not true.
Nah, you're just pulling out your ass.
That's the least true.
No,
James
look,
and I have
I,
had.
I've seen him. He like scribbles. He just like scribbles like random lines on like napkins at like
restaurants,
Starbucks and Costa and stuff, and just. You know, he just makes it. He just makes it up.
Makes
from
it
there.
Up he as they go along. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Chucks
yeah.
it all down, pieces uh-huh. it together, and he's just like, "That sounds like it makes sense."
Yeah,
yeah. There's no end game, dude.
No,
absolutely not. No, there is an end game.
Yeah.
Well, end game.
We know where the story's going.
We know where.
We know
ours,
what.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know what we want to tell.
The plot and the arcs for the characters have a definite end game.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yes, absolutely. I will say right now in our current scheme of things, there are 3 seasons of The Orphans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So shove that up your Swedish face hole, Ebor. More like me. Move on.
Our next question is also from Ebor.
Okay. Hey, buddy. Nice to see you again.
His question is, when you guys have sold out and lost creative control to the Nerdy Show Empire, Cap approaches you and tells you that in the new digital re-release of the original episodes, Danny DeVito will be voicing one of the main characters. Right. Which character will you cast him as?
I think probably there's only one obvious answer. Uh-huh. We both know who it is, so we'll say it on three. 3, 2, 1 Olivia. There we go.
I didn't expect us to say the same thing.
Olivia.
I think a Danny DeVito as Olivia would be the funniest thing.
Yeah. He has to put on like a woman's voice.
Yeah. No, it's just Danny DeVito's voice. Okay. Everyone still calls him Olivia.
Yeah. And just refers to him as a woman, but he's just Danny DeVito's voice.
Exactly.
I think he'd be a funny. I think we could write a character for him. I think he'd be a funny counterpoint to Jeffrey, but also I
was
going to
say if we could rewrite Stella, to be Danny DeVito.
That's true.
That would be good.
He'd be a funny counterpoint to Jeffrey. Yeah. I think he'd be a funny Jeffrey.
But that's not the question. Yeah, Jeffrey. The question is, who would we recast him as? And it was main cast.
Will, and I guess Jeffrey's main cast. How dare you?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, Jeffrey.
Maybe Will.
Jeffrey or Olivia? Yeah, Will.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Olivia. I don't give a fuck.
How does your girlfriend feel about that?
I'm sure she'll be fine.
Can I let her know that in your head you pretend she's Danny DeVito on a regular basis?
No, she knows.
Oh, cool.
She knows, yeah.
Oh, the shrine didn't build itself.
All right. Thank you for that amazing question.
Me snore. Misnor Graverovich, or whatever his name is.
It's Bjorsson.
Bjork.
Sure, why not? Next,
you get snarky treatment because you asked 2 questions and one of them was pretty snarky. So you get
questions. You get also from Ebor.
You ready for some hot Jeffrey snark, Ebor?
Was there any ideas or scenes that had to be altered or dropped because they didn't work in an audio play setting? If yes, can you tell us about it? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, I can think of scenes we changed and rewrote.
What do you think? Yeah.
Whether it was directly because of the medium of audio drama. I think it was Gavin's dialogue or some of Alex's dialogue hadn't recorded properly. And we had to rewrite.
Yeah.
We had to rewrite and re-record a scene.
Yeah.
That was ended up being Nora and I walking through the woods and
I remember
finding
that.
Water.
Yes.
So in a way, because it wasn't a cinematic medium and we hadn't filmed Alex walking around a forest with us, we just rewrote the scene, cut him out, re-recorded it.
Yeah.
It was pretty simple.
That's true. Ideas, again, I don't think there was anything that we cut out because of audio as the medium.
You pretty much wrote it.
Yeah.
No, well, you knew, and you know, the inherent idea was an audio drama from the beginning. So I think you did a pretty good job of writing it. You knew what you couldn't do over audio, and so you were definitely conservative on instead of trying.
I definitely limited the use of the laser sword.
Yeah,
that was purposeful because it just was difficult.
Well, how did you come up with the idea for the narration?
I straight ripped off Casey Wayland.
Oh well, there we go. Then
if we're gonna be super honest, if we're gonna be real honest right now,
no, you reinvented a classic audio drama sci-fi trope,
as an homage to the work of Casey Wayland.
Sure. Yeah, no, but I knew that I needed to have some kind of insight into what these characters are seeing. Casey Wayland in We Are Alive did this beautiful thing where he had characters writing journals that would provide a sort of narration. I decided mine were logs that they would record. But what I really wanted to do with it, and I think I did a little bit, was I wanted to make sure that these weren't infallible truths.
Yes.
That were being said to the audience. And so I had Gavin lie in his one of his in episode 6 or 5. It was 5 where he's like, "Oh, I didn't find anything after that." And he meets a robot.
He meets a robot immediately.
He finds clues. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to put that across.
I know you wrote. I know you bore in mind every time you were writing and a bit of narration. You knew at what point in time they recorded that narration.
Yeah.
And like what events. So you were presumably imagining, okay, what evening did this guy sit in his tent and speaking to a microphone, and like what events of the day.
And could that person have spoken to a microphone? Like
or at knowing the next point that this character will have time to stand around and record.
Yeah.
Where what does this character know about what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And therefore, what are their emotions?
No, that's very true. Yeah. And if you look at kind of the later episodes, you will notice certain characters stop having narration because they die and they would not have had the opportunity
to afterwards go and record or sing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's very purposeful. And I knew that, and I knew that I wouldn't have that chance. So I wrote the scenes from certain people's perspective because I knew I wouldn't have that insight somewhere else. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Next question. What is it?
There was one thing I wanted to say about ideas that we dropped. This is not because of audio. Originally I was going to have a romance between Baz and William.
Really?
Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That
dude.
Was one of my original concepts that, you know, as I was writing more of it and as kind of the characters were forming and the actors were getting into the roles, I was like, this was not, no room for it.
That's true. There isn't room for
and
it.
And B, there's, it just, it's extra that it does. Yeah. It was extra that didn't need to be there. There's still hints of it in there, but ultimately, I just kind of cut it.
It's more of a respect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Will and Baz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's more of a respect.
It's more of a respect and, like, a friendliness between them. Yeah. No, I decided it wasn't necessary. It just seemed a bit extra. There's no romance in The Orphans, kind of because that's not what the story's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing.
It's debatable whether or not they've even been. It's debatable whether or not they've even been genetically designed to be capable of that.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's something we maybe explore later. What?
Shut up, man! I'm trying to be coy and sensitive and shit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be subtle.
Right, and then the final question, again from Ebor, is most creators hide references in their work. Some are obvious, like it's a trap kind of references, but some have very small hidden ones, like the initials of their mother in their name of an imaginary object. Did you do any of those?
I made you write Jeffrey singing Daisy from...
You didn't make me write that.
That's true.
I wrote that.
I convinced you to do it.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like every... I distinctly remember saying Daisy.
No, I sent you the script and I said, this is what I'm doing. Yeah, and you were like, good, I would have made you do it if you hadn't.
Yeah, that's true. Because that's probably what I'm thinking then. Well, because every robot character... Has to sing Daisy. You have to.
Yeah.
As Which is, of course, is a Hal from 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Every robot character I ever write sings Daisy.
Yeah.
It's just right. It's just a respectful thing to do.
Yeah, of course. it's paying tribute.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
This is a robot character. Every robot character is essentially Hal
yeah.
in some
that
and that's
facet.
You acknowledging it.
Yeah, and you have to acknowledge it unless you go in a completely different direction with AI, in which case that's also fine. But
I also referenced We're Alive. I call by calling the biters biters. That's what they call them in We're Alive. Yeah. That was purposeful. So yeah, those are all the references. Not many were put in there.
No. I don't recall putting any other references in.
Not purposeful ones. No. Well, there you go.
Plenty of room for tents. But that wasn't a reference.
That wasn't.
That was just
a line that I wrote.
That Will did.
Plenty of room for tents.
Hilariously. Yes. Nick, that's all I can think of.
Yeah, that's all I can think of as well. Yeah. Anyways, that just about wraps up everything that we have to say. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoy the upcoming interviews that we have with the cast and the crew. Mm-hmm. Please share The Orphans as far and as wide as you can. Yeah. We're hoping to continue with the second season just as soon as we can figure out
how to do it.
Yes, exactly.
We will keep you
abreast.
Yes.
Anyways, thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
I don't like Gavin.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Orphans, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play and BitTorrent now. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, please visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorship. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and The Orphans on all your favorite social media networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.